Hey, thank you. I want to thank everybody for joining us. This is Brad Woodhouse with Protect Our Care. I want to thank Senator Stabenow, Andy Slavitt. I will get to them. I will get to them very quickly. The Senate is moving very quickly towards adjournment for the August recess. The House has already recessed, and this is, and of course, we had a Democratic presidential debate last night that touched for a good portion of an hour almost on the issue of health care, and this is an important time to do a reset about what August is going to look like from a political, substantive, and advocacy perspective, and kind of a reset of where things stand in the politics of health care and in the needs of the American people, substantively. As we go into August, I think it's important to remind the press and the American people what we know and what we've seen in the polls, which is the American people today are so principally concerned about the cost of their health care, out-of-pocket costs, the cost of premiums, the cost of copays, the deductibles, and particularly the cost of prescription drugs. Secondly, they are very concerned about the ongoing repeal and sabotage agenda of Republicans. This is the exact agenda, the threat of getting rid of the current health care law and the threat that poses to people with pre-existing conditions, to young people, to women, to seniors who've seen the donut hole closed in prescription drugs. All of those threats are why the House was won by Democrats in 2018. And despite that, what should have been a political lesson for Republicans, all those threats remain. And they remain principally and most immediately in the form of this lawsuit, which would eradicate the Affordable Care Act in one fell swoop if successful. And Andy will get into those impacts. But it is with that in mind, those two big drivers of people's interests in mind, cost and the threat of the ongoing Republican and Trump repeal and sabotage agendas, why we're having this call and why our plans for August are to lift these issues up, in addition to what Democrats in the House and the Senate are trying to do today to deal with rolling back sabotage, addressing the cost of prescription drugs, and addressing the cost of health care generally. And frankly, and I know Andy might get into this, you know, we should be hearing more of this in the press, and we should be hearing more of this at the national level, even from the Democrats who are running for president. Of course, the issue of coverage is one that the American people are interested in. But in an election against an incumbent president who has tried and is still trying in the form of this lawsuit and ongoing sabotage to destroy the American healthcare system, we need to hear more about why he doesn't deserve another 4 years and what the impact of this approach of Republicans and President Trump to destroy the American healthcare system means for the American people. We need to at least hear as much about that and how we can rein in cost in a very immediate way as we do the other issues. So that's the topics for this call. I have more about what our plans are for August, but I want to turn it over now to the great senior senator from Michigan and a champion her entire time in public life for health care, for prescription drugs, and for the American people, Senator Debbie Stabenow.
Well, thanks so much, Brad. And first, a big thank you to you and Protect Our Care, because that's really what this is all about, protecting care and bringing down costs. And I appreciate what you have been doing, what you're going to do in August. I think it's terrific. And let me just start by saying that in the last two nights, so proud to have all of our candidates in Detroit. And what I saw were people, every one of them, who are committed to health care as a right, not a privilege, who are committed to bringing down costs, who are willing to stand up to the prescription drug companies to be able to get people the medicine that they need at a price that they can afford. So love the debates on healthcare, but bottom line, we're all on the same side. We want more healthcare, and this president and the Republicans, everything they do is about taking away healthcare and raising costs. And so let's just talk for a moment about prescription drugs, which I have been passionately involved with for years, trying to bring down costs. And there's really two pieces here, because of course we want to have Medicare negotiating lower drug prices, and I'll touch on that in a minute. But we also, under the ripping apart of our healthcare system right now, have a situation where they're undermining the cost of prescription drugs again. And so they're talking about wanting to do something about prescription drugs and the Finance Committee and the Health Committee, and at the same time supporting a lawsuit that's going to include reopening Part D coverage gap, which we call the donut hole. They support efforts to eliminate prescription drug coverage as an essential benefit. The Trump administration is putting junk plans out right now, right and left, don't require prescription drug coverage. So obviously, they are not serious about bringing down costs for seniors or providing affordable health care coverage. And it was all on display last week in the Finance Committee when I offered an amendment to allow Medicare to negotiate lower prices. This should have been in the Medicare Part D legislation when it was passed by the Senate. I led the effort at the time to get that in and to not give a backdoor sweetheart deal to Big Pharma. Unfortunately, the fact that the pharmaceutical industry has more lobbyists than any other special interest here in D.C. was on full display at that time in 2003, and it was on display again last week, where they came in strongly opposing the negotiation option for Medicare, because they know that's the way you really bring prices down. And as a result of that, every single Republican voted no to allow Medicare to negotiate. And let me just stress again, this is about bringing prices down. I appreciate efforts to cap increases, but when you look at the cost of insulin, when you look at the cost of Humira today, which is $50,000 a year, capping the increase still means it's above $50,000 a year. And if we were to have a Medicare negotiation process, we are talking about huge cuts in insulin, huge cuts in cancer drugs. And that's what the American people are asking for, to have the medicine that they need at the time they need it, and to have it be something that they can afford for themselves or their families. So we're going to continue on when this bill comes to the floor. We will be insisting on a vote on Medicare negotiation to be in order to move forward on the bill, as well as other issues. And we stand as a Democratic caucus squarely with the American people. And I also want to say thank you to AARP, who has come out endorsing our amendment to allow Medicare to negotiate lower prices. Thank
you,
Brad.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your leadership. It was so important in the Senate Finance Committee. And of course, it's been important all along, but in the Senate Finance Committee, to really put a marker down. We know President Trump has gone back on his promise to support
Medicare
drug negotiation. We know that he has talked a good game, but has not delivered anything on lowering the price of prescription drugs. Some Republicans, but not even the majority of those on the Senate Finance Committee, would even vote for the more modest measures that you all supported. And so we have to put this marker down, and you've done such a great job. And I know you may have to go vote, and hopefully you can come back. But thank you so much for your contribution. Thank you so much. Let me turn it over to Andy Slavitt. Andy is a dear friend of Protect Our Cares. He is an advisor of ours. He's a former acting administrator for Senator of Medicare and Medicaid Services, and he's involved in healthcare and healthcare advocacy, 100 other ways that I would never be able to list adequately. And I want to thank you, Andy, for joining the call.
Thanks, Brad. And Thank you and protect our care for keeping our focus where it should be when there's a million other distractions. And I'd echo your thanks to Senator Stabenow for what has been brave and persistent leadership that will hopefully pay off at some point soon. I'll limit my remarks to a couple of areas, but I do want us to make sure we're looking at the bigger picture right now as we sit here in the middle of 2019. With all the focus on the Democratic presidential debate, what we're really having is a conversation about how we should go about covering every single American and making sure they have access to affordable health care. We're not talking about, in those debates, whether we should be doing that. That is a debate that will be had in the general election. And at this point in time, a conversation about how to get there, while important, is missing the focus on the incredible theft that's happening before our eyes as Trump and Republican state attorneys general are colluding to rip health care away from millions of Americans, the effects of which I will get to in a moment. But I think having all of our attention focused on how we might create our ideal healthcare system on the island ahead, misses the fact that we have a giant iceberg in front of us. And I would hope that both our anybody, whether they're running for office or whether they're an elected representative or in the media covering healthcare issues, will spend at least as much time on the very real effects of what the Trump administration is trying to do. Because remember that if they're successful in this lawsuit, consumer protections, which are the most valued part of the changes in healthcare over the last decade, will disappear. Pre-existing condition protections gone from 130 million Americans, lifetime caps and limits, 10 essential benefits, just gone. Medicaid expansion, which is by both economic and health measures, the most effective domestic policy over the last several decades, would be done. And all of the prescription drug work that Senator Stabenow hopes to do, forget about that. We would be taking some giant steps backwards. 12 million seniors would be paying more for prescription drugs. Those of us that, like myself and my wife, who buy our insurance through the insurance exchanges, would no longer have a guarantee that the drugs that we need in order to take care of ourselves would be covered. Those decisions would be made by the insurance companies once again, which is a scary thought. And if I go through just a list of people that will be hurt, I think about who are they? Adult children, women, people over 50, people with incomes under $100,000, people who are sick, people who are worried about being sick, people who will be sick in the future, people who want to change jobs, people who live in rural America, people who are trying to keep their hospitals open. That's just a partial, obvious list where the number of people impacted is in the multiple millions. That is what's at stake if Trump is successful, but I think what we can't forget is that every single day, from the day Trump took office and put out an executive action to activities that are occurring literally every month, more and more is going on to take coverage away from people. And while he may not have been successful with Congress in limiting health care for 24 million Americans, let's not forget he has eliminated health care for 7 million Americans. By making it more expensive, by making it less accessible, by making sure that it's harder to reach and fewer people know about it, by trying to scare insurance companies to leaving the market, and by putting forward a alternative insurance product that he's very proud of that gives free rein to the people who write the fine print on your insurance policy so that they can decide what they will cover, what they won't cover, whether or not something should be excluded as a pre-existing condition, whether or not people should be denied or dropped coverage. And, you know, I remind anybody on this call who is old enough to remember, you know, we came from a world in 2009 where one in seven consumers found themselves with their pre-existing condition coverage not covered when they went to seek care. 20,000 people had policies canceled, and we are slowly inching back into that world even without this lawsuit. So I'm going to tag my remarks right there by suggesting that this is not a theoretical situation. This is the world that we are living in. We cannot, in my view, let it be normalized and stop talking about it just because it is our reality that affects so many people. And I hope, again, that our healthcare political debate will recenter on the existential crisis facing our people who live in our country and just want to simply take care of their families.
Andy, thank you, and I couldn't agree with your remarks. With your remarks more, I mean, this is an existential threat, and it is that threat, what we call a healthcare emergency, that is why Protect Our Care is launching a national bus tour, a tour that we call Healthcare Emergency, where we're going to go through. Go to 22 cities and 13 states, cover 5,800 miles. We begin Monday in Las Vegas. We move to Phoenix and Tucson, Santa Fe, Pueblo, Denver just next week. And then for the weeks following, we come east, across the Midwest, go east, and then to the Northeast, and then turn south and go down and end in Atlanta. And on this tour, we're going to the districts of Democrats and the states of Democrats in the Senate who are working to promote lower cost and a better care agenda, or fighting this administration sabotage. But maybe more importantly, we're going into the districts and the states of Republicans who continue to support a repeal and sabotage agenda and this Texas lawsuit to tell their constituents that the emergency in health care is not the debate that we're having on the Democratic side in the presidential race about how to bring more coverage to people at lower cost. It's about Republicans whose policies, every one since the Affordable Care Act was enacted, every Republican policy to counter it has been about reducing care, raising costs, and helping the insurance companies and the drug companies simply make more money. So we're gonna talk about that, and Martha McSally when we're in Arizona. We're gonna talk about that, and Cory Gardner when we're in Colorado. We're gonna talk about that, and Joni Ernst when we're in Iowa, and when we're in North Carolina, we're gonna talk about Tom Tillis's support for this lawsuit. And when we're in Georgia, we're gonna talk about David Perdue's. And so this tour, which kicks off Monday, is a healthcare emergency tour. It gets us back to the conversation that we need to be having in this country about what the immediate threats and what if Democrats had their way and we didn't have the Mitch McConnell graveyard in the Senate would be the opportunities, the threats posed by Republicans and Trump and the opportunities being pushed by Democrats, many of which have already passed the House and are sitting in that legislative graveyard in the United States Senate. So that tour, we're looking forward to that. We're going to cross this country. We're going to do 5,800 miles in 3 weeks with the weekends off, so a lot of miles each day. But we're very much looking forward to that and refocusing the conversation where it should be in the healthcare debate. With that, Whitney, we'll take any questions, if any, from the press.
Great. Thanks, Brad. At this time, if any of our press folks have questions for our speakers, if you can press *3 on your phone, that'll enter you into our Q&A queue. Again, that's *3. All right, it doesn't look like we're going to have any questions today. So, Brad, I'm going to kick it. Oh, hold on 1 second. All right, our first question is going to come from Christy Bleck at the Mining Journal in Marquette, Michigan. Christy, you are live.
Yes, I had read that the Associated Press reported that the Trump administration wants to create a way for Americans to legally and safely import lower-cost prescription drugs from Canada. Would that make any dent into this problem, or is this just, what do you call, maybe one of those junk plans?
You know, hi, Christy. Let me respond to that. This is Debbie Stabenow.
Hi.
Actually, if they did it right, I mean, this is something that I've been a part of sponsoring now for years, which is to really allow, and you're right up near a border crossing, and we certainly, you know, have seen at each of the border crossings in Michigan where you can cross over. In fact, just recently, I've done this, the Ambassador Bridge in Detroit just recently, Senator Sanders did this and found that they dropped by 90% the cost of insulin. So there's no question. But unfortunately, what we're seeing is a lot of general statements, nothing specific. It appears that they're trying to talk about it without really doing it. And we'll see. But the current head of the Department of Health and Human Services, the current secretary, was the CEO of Eli Lilly America. And when he was in that position, he testified. In fact, I asked him specifically about reimportation from Canada, and he was strongly opposed to it. And so he's now talking about some general statements, but we've seen nothing that is specific at all. So if he wants to really do it, that'd be great, and I would be certainly working with them on it. But what I fear is that he's backed away. The president said he supported negotiation under Medicare back during his campaign, and then now has reversed himself. They're looking for ways to talk about lowering prices without really being willing to stand up and take on the drug companies. And so far, that's what this looks like.
Okay.
Thank you. Right. Thank you, Senator Stabenow.
Our next question is going to come from Jill Burkham at the Minneapolis Star Tribune. Jill, you are live.
Hi, thank you. Well, the previous reporter asked about the issue that I had hoped to ask about, and I appreciate the senator's response to that. But if Andy Slavitt's still on the line, I'd love to hear him talk about the drug importation proposal as well, and perhaps put a finer edge on whether or not, you know, this takes on the drug price problem head on, or if it is, you know, kind of a nibbling around the edges, or even a less effective strategy than that to actually do something about drug care prices.
Thank you, Jill. I'll go back to something that Brad said earlier, which is it really depends on if you think about the healthcare crisis right now as an emergency or as just a theoretical economic challenge. And for millions of people around the country and tens of thousands in Minnesota, as you know, it is an emergency. And so when it costs $15 to produce a vial of insulin and it sells in Canada for $39, which feels like kind of a normal profit margin, and it sells the same exact vial sells for $250 in the U.S., it would seem to me like you'd have to build an awfully big wall between here and Canada to keep people out from being able to take care of themselves and their family. And so, you know, is it the best long-term solution? Is there enough supply in Canada? I don't think anybody is saying that. But when Senator Stabenow walks around her state and sees people in a state of crisis, you know, it only makes sense. To add fuel to the fire, however, as you know, Jill, in this state, we couldn't even pass something which would create emergency insulin for people in emergency situations to get insulin when they were at risk of dying. And this was as driven by a tragedy in this state. And the drug companies are working very hard to prevent even the supply of emergency insulin because they fear a slippery slope. And when they spend, as Senator Stabenow alluded to, over $400 million a year just from that one lobby, not counting the companies themselves and not counting the biotech industry, it is no surprise that we have our work cut out for us and we can't get these simple things done.
And let me just stress again with Andy and in total support of what he said. You know, actions speak louder than words. You know, that's what I grew up with. And We are seeing some general proposals that I don't even call proposals. They're talking about undescribed demonstrations. We don't know when they would start. We don't know what they would do. I think they're just trying to talk about drug prices because they know this is a crisis for people. But every proposal they've put out so far, they've pulled back. So the president proposed somehow tying our drug prices to international prices and pulled back. They looked at rebates and pulled it back. They put it out there. Big Pharma pushes back hard, saying, no, don't do this, and then they pull it back. And so the words mean nothing. Words mean nothing unless it actually results in accountability and lower drug prices. So, you know, we'll look at the words, but when the insulin cost goes down, then I will celebrate.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Whitney, any more questions?
Nope, that's all the questions for today, Brad.
All right, perfect. Well, I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank our reporters, those on the line, those who asked questions, and obviously our participants, Senator Stabenow, Andy, and Andy Slavitt. And, you know, this is just something that we will continue to communicate with you. We'll continue to communicate with the American people. We're happy to be bringing this tour to a big swath of the American people, and we will continue to encourage those who are advocating on our side, including the presidential candidates, to continue to focus on this current emergency in addition to what more we want to do to expand coverage and lower costs. So with that, we'll end this call. And I want to thank everybody for joining us. Have a great day.
Thanks.